Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. And now, here's Rick with the final part of a message called, When You Can't See Your Way Clearly.
It's interesting that Jesus never in his entire ministry held a healing rally. Not once. Never did he pass out flyers and say, tonight at the stadium at the Sea of Galilee, for one night only, Jesus Christ. Everybody bring your friends. He never did miracles from a stage. Never did miracles for an audience. He never did miracles to show off. In fact, this is going to surprise you. Every single healing Jesus did was an interruption. It was an unplanned interruption. Not once did he say, I'm going to go down to Jerusalem and heal a bunch of people. He was doing different things, and on his way, people of need would come to him privately and personally, and he would deal with them privately and personally. Sometimes other people saw it, but he never did it for an audience. Does that make sense? Okay, he always did it personally, one-on-one, never to draw a crowd. Not once. Not once. Now, the third thing I want you to notice is miracles happen when somebody cares. Miracles happen when we get close to Jesus. And then the third phrase, it says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Circle the phrase, led him. The third thing we learn is that miracles happen when we trust Jesus to lead us. Now, if this guy hadn't let Jesus lead him outside the village, he would have never seen the miracle. But Jesus takes the blind man by the hand. See how personal this is? He takes Jesus, the man by the hand, blind man, very personal, and leads him outside the village. Now, why did he do that? Because Jesus didn't want a crowd. He wasn't doing this to show off. He said, let's do this personally, okay? Let's just do this privately. So come with me. And he takes the guy outside the village. Jesus is popular. He doesn't need any crowds. He doesn't need the adulation of other people. He just says, come with me, and he takes him in a private one-on-one conversation. He heals the guy. He didn't need the attention. What he was doing was healing the guy and teaching his 12 disciples. Now imagine you're this blind man. Your friends have taken you to a guy you don't know about, and all of a sudden the guy says, here, come with me, and he grabs your hand, and he's leading you. Now, you're blind. So, A, you don't know who it is, and B, you don't know where he's taking you, and C, you don't know how long the trip's going to take. Some of you feel that way right now. I have no idea what God's doing in my life. I have no idea where he's taking me. I have no idea how long it's going to take. Congratulations, you're getting ready for a miracle. Congratulations. This is called the walk of faith. When you can't see, but God can. You can't see where Jesus is taking you. All you have to do is hang on. That's all you need to do. And you're blind, and you need to trust Jesus. He's not going to walk over into a ditch. He's not going to take you into a lion's den. He knows where he's taking you. He loves you. He knows what you need better than you do. Now, this miracle is very unusual, and it's very unique. First place, this miracle is unusual because in the way Jesus healed blind people, he never, ever did it this way. So this way, there's no other miracle like this in the Bible where Jesus heals a blind person the way he did. And he had healed lots and lots and lots and lots of blind people. Many of them just said, be healed, and that was it. So it's a very unusual healing. Second, it's unique. This is the only time in the Bible where Jesus heals a guy in stages. In other words, gradually. Stage one, stage two, where it's a progressive miracle, where it's an incremental miracle. Now, obviously, Jesus could have healed him just like that because he did it to everybody else. So it's not like this isn't working. This is for a purpose. Everything Jesus did, He had a purpose behind. He had an intentional reason behind it. And he's trying, remember, every miracle has a message. He's trying to teach the disciple something about spiritual vision. At the same time, he's healing this guy. So he's using a visual object lesson of this man. And so he does this miracle in stages. And it's rich with meaning. It's the only progressive miracle in the Bible. Now let's look at it. Mark 8:22. It's unusual and it's unique. First it says, then Jesus spit on the man's eyes. How many would say that's unusual? Yeah. If a guy's blind, I would not think spitting in his eye would be the way to heal him. Now, we think, man, that is gross. But it's not only gross. If you've ever been to the Middle East, you know spitting is incredibly offensive. If you spit on someone in the Middle East, it means you're dirt, man. You're dirt. This is not culturally, this is not an example of love. It's the exact opposite from what it appears to be. Because spitting meant you're less than a human being. I reject you. I revile you. Now, obviously, Jesus isn't doing that. So he's got a reason behind it. Why did Jesus spit in this guy's eye? I don't know. It's one of those, when I get to heaven, I got it on my list. Now, Lord, why did you do this? That did not seem cool. It did actually seem a little gross to me. Why? I don't know. I've read at least a dozen different scholars, and they've all got good ideas. I don't like them. One of my ideas I just came up with, I thought, you know what? The guy's blind, and if he's leading him along, now that means if he's blind, he can't see anything he's doing. So if Jesus goes, woo, you know, he's not going to see that. But if you're blind, you would certainly feel moisture. Okay, you'd certainly feel moisture. I don't really know. It doesn't even bother me. All I know is that he had a reason for it, and it was very unusual. So, and the only time he ever did it, in healing a blind man. Then Jesus spit on the man's eyes, and he put his hands on him. And then he asked, do you see anything? Now the man looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. In other words, I'm not totally blind anymore, but I just see shapes. And so this guy's vision is blurred, okay? And Jesus says, do you see anything? He says, well, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Now, Jesus is not satisfied with partial vision here, okay? And so it says here, so Jesus put his hands on the man a second time. Only time Jesus ever did this. And then his eyes were opened fully, his sight was restored completely, and he saw everything clearly. And Jesus sent him home saying, don't go back into town. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn three lessons about seeing with spiritual eyes. We learn three lessons about seeing life clearly. Your family, your husband, your wife, your job, your future, God, yourself. Three lessons. Would you write these down? Number one, my spiritual vision grows in stages. That's the first thing Jesus is modeling. It's not instantaneous. It's incremental. Spiritual vision grows in stages. It's gradual. It's progressive. As I said, you don't see everything clearly instantly in life. You see it incrementally. If I could and if I did, was able to, I'd give you a pill that you could take that all of a sudden everything would make sense in your life. And you go, oh, now I know why that happened. Now I know why I have these problems. Now I know why I'm having this conflict. Now I know what you want to do in the future. God, I got it all. Thank you. 10-4. Good buddy. This is great. And I understand everything. But it doesn't happen that way. Spiritual vision, insight, wisdom grows over time in stages. It's incremental, it's progressive, and it is gradual. If you're growing spiritually. Now, if you've been growing spiritually, you see life a lot clearer than you did 10 years ago. If you don't see life any clearer than you did 10 years ago, you are not growing spiritually. As I said, Jesus wasn't satisfied with this guy having blurred vision. He says, do you see anything? And the man says, well, I see people, but they kind of look like trees walking around. So Jesus puts his hand on him a second time. Now here's the second truth we learn from this. The test of my vision is how I see other people. The test of spiritual vision is how I see others. My spiritual vision grows in stages, but the test of my vision is how I see other people. It's the number one way you know you're looking at life from God's viewpoint. How you see other people. The number one test of your maturity is not how much Bible you know. It is not how often you go to church. It is not whether you're in a small group. It is not whether you serve or tithe or pray. Or the number one test, acid test of your maturity, your vision, is your relationships. How you see other people. Because it's all about love. So let me ask you some very pointed questions. Do you see your spouse the way God does? Do you see your spouse the way God does, or do you see him the way you do? How does God see your spouse? Valuable, acceptable, lovable, forgivable, deeply loved. Is that the way you see your spouse? How about other people around you? What do you see when you look at other people? When you're driving in to Saddleback and you're rushing for a parking spot, do you see people as rivals? Do you see them as irritations? Do you see them as burdens? The people you work with, do you see them as enemies? Do you see them as competition? Or do you see them the way God sees them? Saddleback Church was built on the idea, on the concept, on the truth of God's word, that every person is valuable. Every person matters to God. It doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, or even what they believe. Christ died for them. Jesus loves them. God has a plan for their life, and he wants them to know him. Everybody matters. There are no little people. There are no insignificant people. The Bible says when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Are you there yet? Three lessons about seeing life clearly. Spiritual growth, spiritual vision happens in stages. The test of my vision is how I see others. And the third thing is that Jesus heals my sight three ways. You might write these down. There are three ways when Jesus touches you and he changes the way you see things. It changes three ways. Number one, my focus gets sharper. My focus gets sharper. The Bible says that when Jesus touched this man, his eyes were opened. That's not even that good of a translation. His eyes were opened. Literally, in the Greek, it means he fixed his focus. That's what it says in Greek. He fixed his focus. New American Standard says he looked intently, intentionally. Another translation says he looked with purpose. Another translation says he stared. The Amplified says he focused his attention in a very, you know, concentrated way, like a laser. What's happening here? What's Jesus pointing out? That when really you get touched by Jesus, your life gets focused. Now, if your life is out of focus right now, it means you're not being touched by Jesus. If you say, my life is really unfocused, and I got this going on, and 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 I'm distracted, and I got all kinds of different things, and I have no focus in my life, you need to be touched by Jesus. Because the first thing that happens when he touches you, your focus gets sharper. Your life becomes more focused the more you see life from God's viewpoint. Second thing that happens, my perspective gets larger. That's another way he heals my sight. My perspective gets larger. Notice it says his sight was restored completely. In other words, complete vision, full vision. And what happens when Christ really takes over your life? And not just, I believe in Jesus, I know about Jesus. When you let him take over your life, you are surrendered, you are submitted to his will. What happens? All of a sudden, I see the big picture. I see the big picture. And I have found in my own life that the closer I get to Christ, the more I see the big picture. Most people have about that much vision in life. They've got a little small parochial me, myself and I viewpoint, and they don't see the big picture. They don't get the big perspective. Why? Because they're not looking at life from God's viewpoint. My focus gets sharper, my perspective gets larger, and the third thing Jesus does when he heals my sight is my vision gets clearer. My vision gets clearer. The third thing he said, it said his eyes were focused, his sight was restored completely, and he saw everything clearly. No cloudy vision, no corrupted vision, no just a clear vision. Because when Jesus takes over your life, you get a focus, you get a framework, oh, that's what makes sense, and you get foresight. How do I get that? You need to pray the prayer of Job. Job 34:22, up here on the screen. Job 34:22. Let's read it aloud together with great enthusiasm. Teach me what I cannot see, and if I've done wrong, I won't do it again. That's a prayer. Let's say it again. Teach me what I cannot see, and if I've done wrong, I won't do it again. Job 34:32. Now, I want us to memorize part of this verse today because I want you to make it a prayer this entire next week. So we're just going to memorize the part, teach me what I cannot see. Okay, teach me, let's say that three times. Teach me what I cannot see. Okay, say this to God in your mind. Teach me what I cannot see. One more time. Teach me what I cannot see. Now, always the hard part in a memorized verse, as I said, is the address, which is where do you find it in the scriptures? And it's Job 34:32. Those of you guys, just think, imagine yourself being a quarterback calling a play. Job 34:22. Okay, ready? Hut, hut. Job 34:32. Hut. Okay, now you know that play. That's a good play. Job 34:32. Okay, so let's say it together. Job 34:32, teach me what I cannot see. Job 34:22. I want you to pray that every day this week. 32. You know when it's time to go to the dentist? 2:30. Wow, that's really stretching back. Okay. When you're going to work this week and you're driving the car, Lord, teach me what I cannot see. When you're in an argument, Lord, teach me what I cannot see. When you don't know what to say to a friend who's grieving, teach me what I cannot see. Because you can't see everything, but you can pray and God can see. Lord, teach me what I cannot see. So Jesus gives us a misunderstanding, and he uses that, and then he gives us a miracle. Finally, Jesus uses a clarifying question to correct our vision. Mark chapter 8, this is after the miracle. Then Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. This is about 25 miles away from Bethsaida. And on the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" And his disciples replied, "Well, Lord, some people say you're John the Baptist, who, by the way, had his head cut off. So he's dead. And by the way, his head is in the mosque in Damascus. I've actually been in it, there where they have preserved where the head of John the Baptist supposedly was taken after he was killed by Herod in Jerusalem. Some people say you're John the Baptist. And others say, Lord, you're Elijah." That's the guy we talked about last week, who lived 900 years before Jesus. "And still others say you're one of the other prophets." Isn't it interesting that people are often more willing to believe he was a dead prophet come back to life than who he claimed to be? People want to believe anything about Jesus except who he was. "Oh, I believe he's John the Baptist. Yeah, he got his head cut off last week, but that's probably who he is." No. So then Jesus said, but what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. What's that? Christ and Messiah, the same word for Son of God. Not a nice guy, not a good prophet, Son of God. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are God's Son. Now, why did Jesus ask this question? Write this down. Last thing. How I see Jesus determines how clearly I see everything else. How I see Jesus determines how clearly I see everything else. You see, friends, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, like we talked about on Easter, then he's the biggest con man who ever lived. He's a liar. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the Son of God, and I'm going to prove it by coming back to life 3 days later after I let them kill me. And he came back and for 40 days walked around Jerusalem, met with different groups. One time met with 500 people. For 6 weeks walked around. He's back. That would have been kind of weird, particularly if I'd been one of the executioners. Oh, there he is. There's that guy I killed last week. Maybe I missed. If Jesus, see, everything in Christianity rises or falls on the resurrection. If that didn't happen, then Jesus could not be a good teacher. Well, I believe he was a good teacher. Well, he couldn't be, because good teachers don't walk around saying, I'm the Son of God. Either he is who he is, or he's a fraud, he's a con man. How I see Jesus affects how I see everything else. And if he's not God, then we should just close up shop and go home. If he is, he deserves my love and my trust and my total obedience, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when he grabs my hand and I'm blind, he says, follow me, and I'm going, I have no idea where he's taking me. I have no idea the job, the location. I have no idea about who I'm going to marry. I have no idea about what's going to happen on this health. But he's taken me by the hand. He said, come with me. You're about to have a miracle. The only thing Jesus cannot be in your life is moderately important. If he's not who he says he is, forget him. If he is who he says he is, you need to worship him. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Father, you know that I don't always see things clearly. My life needs more focus. I often miss the big picture. My perspective is limited. And Father, because I see others from my viewpoint instead of yours, I often have conflict and disappointment and pain. Jesus, I need you to touch my eyes and heal my blindness. Help me to see you as you really are. Help me to see myself as I really am. Help me to see others the way you love them. Forgive me for my pride and my short-term thinking. And all the times I forget the things you've done in my life and I start worrying again about the future. Help me to see what's really important in life. Help me to see what doesn't matter and what isn't worth getting stressed over. I want my life and vision to become more focused. I want to see the big picture. I want to have compassion for people and for the world the way you do. Thank you for this church family that helps me grow gradually in my own spiritual vision. And allows me to be a part of your vision for what you want to do in the world. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick. And now this really is one of my favorite parts of the broadcast, letters from our listeners. Here's Rick.
Here's a letter from Catherine, a listener who says that hearing the truth of the Bible on Daily Hope transformed her life. She wrote me this. She said, Pastor Rick, a few months ago, I was angry all the time about everything. My husband was drinking too much, and my marriage was headed for divorce. Years ago, I'd forgotten about my faith. But one day, on my long drive home from work, I changed the station from my angry music, and I found you speaking on Daily Hope on the radio. You know, it was as if, through you, Jesus said, oh, you're finally listening, and I have something to tell you. Well, your message spoke directly to me, to my problems, and to my many failures. And you spoke some hard truths, Pastor Rick, that I needed to hear about the things that I was doing wrong and the things that I wasn't doing at all. But it made me look at myself, and I realized that I had forgotten about Jesus. And I was making myself miserable, trying to do everything on my own. I wasn't trusting in God or seeking God or even a relationship with Jesus. But a few days later, after a lot of inward reflection, I shared your words with my husband. You know what? We're now both reading our Bibles again. We're going to church again. We're mending our relationship with each other and with Christ, our Savior. And it is your Daily Hope program that changed our lives and the direction of our lives. Now I'm listening to you on my way home from work every day. So thanks for allowing yourself to be a vessel through which God can work to restore lives and marriages. I was hopeless, but now I'm full of hope and full of joy through my faith in Jesus. So God bless you, Rick, for bringing me back to God. Friends, you may have heard me say this before, that I am addicted to changed lives. I am passionate about watching God at work in your life and giving people hope when everything else seems hopeless. It's why we do what we do. Catherine and her husband have now mended their relationship, and they're both reading their Bibles. That is incredible news. The family that prays together stays together. None of this, by the way, would be possible without your support of Daily Hope. It is your gifts, your financial gifts, and your prayers that allow me to teach millions of people every day all around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you just heard, people are being saved, lives are being changed, marriages are being restored, people are finding hope. Why? Because of you and your financial gifts and your prayers. So thank you, everybody, for your caring about others and their relationship with God. And if you can send a gift today, please do so. We want to reach more and more people with the hope of God's Word.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.